Hey gamers, I'm King Zora's big chunky ass, Zach.
And I'm looking for a giant eel to fill my Jolly Roger bay. It's me, Patrick. Welcome to RP Gamer Season 4, Episode 2, a podcast about water levels. All right, as you noticed from our last episode, RP Gamer is back for season 4. Bopper, I am also, as always, excited, our very first guest ever on RP Gamer, to have you here. Always an honor.
Was I really the first guest?
Yeah, you were.
Really?
In season 1. Yeah, the difficulties episode.
Okay.
Don't you remember me having a meltdown when I was trying to do the introductions? I think I said introduction. I couldn't speak correctly.
Yeah, I remember all that. I was just surprised. I'm surprised it was the first. I didn't remember being the first. I'm just upset I didn't have a cold open now that I've heard them for the heard your alls for this episode.
You'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'm coming in unprepared, but I wasn't getting Jolly Roger Bay mentioned immediately was
just dropping it.
Yeah.
Well, thematically, if you noticed, we had some water themes going on, and if you look at the title of this episode, you obviously know that we are talking about one of, I feel like, the most taboo things to talk about in gaming, and that is indeed a water level.
Mm-hmm.
Cue dread, cue anxiety-inducing music. This is kind of a potentially heated topic because... Well, I don't want to lead. I guess what I want to talk about is because we all hit gaming in different points in our life. Mm-hmm. When were you first inducted into the pantheon of fuck me water levels? Like when is your intros? Bopper, let's go ahead and start with you.
Yeah. So I guess I have two answers that are not interesting. Because I'm sure a million
everything
people,
you say is interesting.
I don't know about these.
Give us both.
The two earliest water levels I remember distinctly playing were Jolly Roger Bay, Mario 64. Mm-hmm. Now, I never had a Nintendo 64, so I only got like bits and pieces of Jolly Roger Bay playing it at my cousin's house. We would sit there and play Mario 64 for hours. And we'll probably get more into why that level especially was so memorable. But the first one I definitely would have seen that made a huge impression on me was Soda Lake in Super Mario World, because that's in the stretch of that game where you go from Butterbridge, which is horrible, and then you descend down into Soda Lake, into the Star World, and oh my god, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of time later to talk about it.
Tons and tons of times, but it's interesting. You know, obviously, being baby bops compared to oldies like Zach and I, you know, like, you're still coming in relatively early in gaming and water levels there. So that's good. Zach, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go back a generation and go back to Super Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers. What is that, like 2-2, I think, that level? That's the underwater level, maybe? That one was the first, I think, water level I remember. And I'm being like, oh, there's a new mechanic here. I have to, like, swim. And it's like... You kind of control gravity that way. That was the first water level I remember playing, but I feel like the first water level that, like, what'd you say? Fuck me water level was, was probably Ocarina of Time Water Temple. Jabu Jabu's was not as bad as Water Temple. And I think I'm going to speak for a lot of people in saying Water Temple back then in the 90s or whatever was not fun. Oh my gosh. But yeah. How about yours?
So I'm with you, dating myself, but like OG Mario, water level, I think you're right, it's 2-2, those fucking bloopers.
Yes.
I swear to God, like, potentially where my fear of squid come from.
Right.
And
you didn't say bopper. You said blooper, right? Not bopper.
Blooper, yeah, bloopers.
Okay, just make sure. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, I talk different shit about bopper. But honestly, I think the one that solidified even more where I was like, okay, no, I really don't like... water levels is Sonic 2. Because I after I had my Nintendo, I was more of a Sega boy than I was like a Nintendo boy, because we were like too poor to get a Super Nintendo. So hitting Sonic 2, and definitely what I feel like, if I had to compare all of my trauma from my childhood to the anxiety inducing music of drowning in Sonic 2, I think Sonic 2 probably traumatized me more. There we go. Yeah.
This is just an episode about water levels that have traumatized us, and we're all just going to process together. It's just going to be group therapy. That's what this episode's going to be.
Truly. It'd be, yeah. I mean, when we were discussing what our questions and our topics were going to be, it really is just Trauma Fest 2024.
I guess to that point, like, what qualifies water levels that suck? Like, I guess I could answer that question too, but I want to hear what you guys think. Like, why do water levels suck? I guess, to plainly put it.
I feel like my answer to this is going to be not like the others, because I'm going to I was going over the outline for this part when you were sending me the questions, and I kind of like water levels.
This is great.
Yeah. Controversy.
So I didn't want to say anything beforehand, because I didn't want to like force any of the questions to be changed. But I think part of it is that, you know, I've never looked into the history of why water levels sucked. To me, that's always just been a thing. It's always been a thing that I've heard other people say. Earliest memories, you're talking Water Temple in Ocarina of Time. And I remember before I ever played Ocarina of Time, the one thing I knew about that game was that the Water Temple was trash. Because that's like, you would see, if you watched like any old, like ancient YouTube videos, when I was first getting like online and looking at game like reviews and critiques and stuff online, and you go back to old like game trailer stuff from like 2007. Yeah, it was always like, Water Temple sucks, this water level sucks. But growing up, I never differentiated them. I never differentiated like a soda lake from a butter bridge. It was just, okay, here's some more crap. Here's some more ridiculous difficulty. It was never like, this level is specifically bad for being water. If anything, my dislike for water levels is actually a very modern thing. I dislike prestige action game water levels, but okay, I'm fine with everything else.
So yours is a lot more specific. Yes. Okay. That's interesting too, because I know I'm kind of on the flip side, where I think I tend to like newer water levels, but like, I think the ones that got me were pretty much pre PS2, maybe around PS2 is where I tend to not like them as much. But I think those common trends that I'm noticing that I don't tend to like that you see pop up are things like, you know, you have limited movement, or your movement scheme completely changes. And I think that's one of those things where that can really eat up a playstyle. And I don't know if it's so much of a, we're switching up the mechanic as much as it is like, we haven't mastered what this could be yet. So everything just seems like your control is minimized. And then I think one of the other common trends, which I think that really sucks, is just oxygen supply in a lot of games is very stressful.
Yeah. How I feel like, you know, water levels, like, I guess the history of water levels, like, that was a new mechanic for video games. And they're like, okay, now how do we take it off land? How do we, like you said, change your moveset? And actually, like, lessen precision. I feel like the water mechanic usually means precision is different, because you have to kind of deal with this kind of ease of and flow of like of water and all that. So I feel like the evolution of a water level from like a Super Mario to you know, an Ocarina of Time and beyond, like, they've kept some of that. Or you think of like Jolly Roger Bay, and just like trying to swim to get to the thing you need to can be really frustrating. And I think it's that lack of like, I want to go that way, but I can't go that way as easily as I want to, also makes them kind of frustrating. And for me, the other part is, I feel like there are games where water equals death, like maybe like the first Assassin's Creed, right? Like, where, oops, you jump in the water. Guess what? You can jump from building to building, but if you jump in that water, death. So water's always had like kind of this negative connotation in games where it's going to kill you because of its natural inherent qualities of suffocation and limiting movement. So I feel like that is like an overall concept in our lives, and translating that to video games kind of comes with that baggage. Now, I think there's also like some beautifully designed water levels too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, like I think of like Donkey Kong Country, like, oh my gosh, the music, little En Garde, your little Marlin friend you get to jump on. Like those are really like kind of iconic levels that I really love. But I feel like because of just the inherent qualities of water, it makes water levels get a bad rap for sure.
Yeah. And I think maybe that might be something that helps, is why I don't mind water levels, because my earliest memories of them is like Mario World or Donkey Kong Country that you point out. Mm-hmm. Because we had a Super Nintendo when I was growing up, and there was exactly one console we had in my house growing up that was like current gen, and that was of all things the Dreamcast. Like we had a Super Nintendo, so I played Donkey Kong Country, Mario World, and then was playing Echo the Dolphin on Dreamcast as a 6 year old. But I as a kid, like I was just fascinated by it. I was bad at all video games. I loved the look of it. And there's like Sonic Adventure, where you have, I never beat any of these games because I wasn't conscious enough of it, but like, you know, you have the opening cutscene of Sonic Adventure where the big water monster bursts through the the skyscraper and it's like flooding the city, and like, so I always thought water was awesome in games.
I love that.
Partially because I guess of its danger. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's a different type of challenge, right? I mean, it definitely makes you think of that level differently because of those characteristics. So yeah, I totally get that.
So you saying water is cool kind of makes me think of all the different types of nature themed levels, like lava levels or desert levels or forests. And I guess, do you think that those types of levels have the same kind of stigma that water levels have?
I don't. Although to me, growing up playing a lot of 2D Mario, water always seemed like the safe haven because you could swim in water, whereas poison forest levels and lava levels were like, always felt like that's the step up in challenge, because that's the stuff that will kill you instantaneously.
Right.
If you had to flip that to a Fire Emblem perspective, just say like switching the genre, do you feel the same way? Because water is included quite a bit, and like switching that genre, like again, do you feel like that stigma wise, fuck, it's a water level, like there's ocean everywhere, or does it tend to not be the worst depending on what we're talking about?
Well, when I look at, like, if we're going to talk about strategy games and then RPGs, to me, like, when I look at water and say Sacred Stones, if you want to do a Fire Emblem one, I love what they do with water in that game. I love the Cormag Dusel level where you have to, like, get Ross or someone into the water to, you know, help you recruit Cormag. I like the boats that are floating around that, like, only people who are weak to them can actually reach them. So it's like dangerous, it's exciting. You have like the Phantom Ship where you're isolated on a boat. I love boats. So getting stuck on a boat and then having to deal with like this sort of water is limiting in a lot of ways. And I think limits frustrate people, but I think limits can be exciting. They can be fun. You're having to work around a different type of problem instead of just having like the infinite freedom that land provides.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a good point.
How about you? Yeah, how about you, Zach? Where do you think it lands in terms of just like how we feel about nature themed levels in general?
I feel like because of the popularity of water levels, that it's kind of at the top of the level. If I was going to say like this is a nature thematic theme tier list, so to speak, I feel like it's been done the most, or the mechanic's been implemented the most. So it feels like it's probably the most ripe for critique because there's so many data points for it. I love the perspective of it offers a different challenge. I think that's really great, especially when, you know, you've been maybe playing a game for a while and then they decide to change it up on you, that even though it may not be welcomed, it is probably good for the health of the game and the flow of the story and the cadence of it to kind of change up the mechanics. I would say probably like Lava is probably right under there, just mm-hmm. because it employs kind of a similar mechanic where, like, you know, you're going to easily die, or they're going to like have you, you know, reset if you jump in the lava, reset to the, you know, the beginning of the door or whatever. But I feel like all the other ones are pretty tame. Like, even if I, again, not to go back to Ocarina of Time, but that game obviously employed a lot of different elements and kind of atmospheres, I guess. And I felt like those two, dealing with lava and fire and water, were the most notorious for having to deal with like environmental hazards.
See, I kind of feel like it just depends. I'm kind of with you where you're saying like there are a lot of different data points on water, which in some ways it kind of makes it potentially better. But I would say that some of the other nature themes are consistent. And that's why I kind of like them a little bit more. Like lava levels, you're almost never okay to walk in the lava, right, until like maybe something changes. You know, desert levels, I feel like it's still pretty consistent. Like things might be hazy, you might move slower, quick
heat
stand,
stroke.
You know, you know, like those are yeah, some of the consistent things. But I think water themes are so ambiguous. Like some games, like you said, it's instant death. Some games you can't swim, so if you jump in, it completely sends you back to the beginning. Whereas some games, you might perform better underwater, or you have power-ups that make you perform better underwater, or you might have a timer, or you might be able to breathe indefinitely. So I think for me, it's hard to always enjoy water levels just because there's just so many different takes on it.
Yeah, you know, I think about like Super Metroid, and you know, trying to traverse water, and before you have like, what was it, the gravity suit?
You're so sluggish, right?
You're so sluggish, yeah. And it's like, and they intentionally make that hard because as a barrier in that level, that game design, right? I mean, it's very classic Metroid of like, oh, you don't have this power up yet, you have to come back later. And then they kind of take away that barrier completely when you have the suit. It's like, oh, guess what? Now water is just like air, and now you can jump around and everything. So it's it's interesting the way that they set up, you know, challenges like that, because they want the user to perceive water as this kind of formidable foe, which yeah, I think is, yeah, they set that up back in the day. Yeah.
Well, I think Metroid's like a good, you know, example of the way like that game, the way all the Metroid games really kind of structure environmental stuff, whether it's water or lava, mm-hmm, you know, because every Metroid area feels like, okay, you're going somewhere you shouldn't go to. And they put that memory in your head of, okay, remember when this area sucked? And then you get the power up that lets you move through the water quickly or lets you withstand the heat of lava. So I think like that is just another case of where Metroid, I think, uses a lot of its environmental hazards as ways to make the player feel both weak and strong, depending on where you are in the game. If I want to get to where I don't like water levels, I'll actually go forward to Metroid Prime, because where I hate water levels, and this is like a physical thing, this isn't even like a game design thing, if it's first person, I can't stand it. I get physically sick in first person water levels. Metroid Prime, Wolfenstein.
Subnautica.
I have not played Subnautica. I'd be curious.
You're familiar with it though, right?
I am familiar with it, but since I've never played it, I've never had to like get seasick with it.
Yeah, it sounds like your nightmare, honestly.
Maybe, but it's a game fully built around it. Because like a game like Wolfenstein The New Order has like a couple of sections where you have to go underwater, but it's like terrible.
Yeah,
it's musty and muddy and it's disorienting. Any game also with like a tight camera on the back of the character, like in The Last of Us, if you have to go underwater, I feel like I'm fighting the analog stick, like I'm dancing. I'm trying to control a boat underwater and I don't like it. It repulses me on a visceral level. I just want to vomit when I see water in those kind of games. But
see, we're going to turn you into a hater of water levels by the end of this. We're going to
that's our mission. I think you're bringing up a good point, though. Like, I think perspective does kind of change how you absorb or process water levels. Because I'm with you. I 100% struggle to do a water level first person. Like, I think that's super rough. I know Jason, like, has a fear of large sea creatures. So, like, I don't think he would be able to play anything like Subnautica.
Dredge.
Because I think that, or Dredge. And, well, is that, that's not first person. Well, I guess just large sea creatures. But
yeah.
But yeah. So I think it would be rough. But for some reason, if you look at it like 2D versus 3D, I could do 2D. But the more dimension that you add to it, I think the worse it gets. You know, thinking of like having to switch the plane that you're traveling along. I do think it is designed. Like, I think games are designed worse when they go from 2D to 3D in terms of water just games in general.
And you bring up a good point, both of you guys, actually, around this idea of like confusion or like, you know, where am I, kind of getting lost. I feel like that is a common theme in first person water levels too. And I think because the landscape underwater isn't as potentially unique as the landscape is above, so you kind of have to reuse a lot of elements, like, oh, it's coral, oh, it's fish, oh, it's, you know, sea creatures, it's leaves, it's whatever. And you kind of can get lost in those atmospheres really easily, more so than you can in just like a normal, you know, first person. So whether that's by design or, you know, just unintentional because, you know, we don't live underwater, I think it's an interesting point about how to view first person water levels as kind of unintentionally confusing.
Yeah, and I...
Bopper.
I was going to say, because I think we're talking about the difference between 2D and 3D, you know, I think that's a big difference because you start taking, like, an analog stick that moves you on land, and then you throw yourself underwater, and now you're using the same control scheme, and it's going to work entirely differently. Because, like, 2D, right. You look at, like, Mario 2-2, it's the same controls, you're just slower and you have to use your jump, but your jump is infinite. So it's variations on a control scheme that you're familiar with. Whereas like you look at, you know, you go into the underwater Wolfenstein levels and the control scheme just feels off. It feels difficult because it's the same controls for above land grafted onto a different environment that doesn't quite work. I feel like the analog stick is just a bad tool in general, and then it's made even worse underwater, I find.
Yeah.
Well, and two, like when you factor in just the sheer depth of water levels or water games and how far you have to go down, like forever remembering being at the bottom of Jolly Roger Bay and having to get all the way to the fucking top, like you're talking about, like you are tilting back the analog stick and like hitting that swim button as fast as you can to get up, unless you find a shell to get you up faster, you know, like the scope of these levels tend to be so much greater. And to Zach's point of being like a lot blander too, where you're just like you're rising so slowly. And I think some games do it a lot better now where when you swim you can rise a lot faster, but I think that mid-era platforming game, which I tend to think tends to be the worst era of water levels, like it was rough then.
Yeah, it's funny because like if you think about how water works in IRL and how you would work in water, like you would naturally float to the top as long as you had air in your lungs, but they kind of flip that.
Yeah, Zach,
head.
The scum always floats to the top.
I'll take that. I'm a beautiful sky. I'm a barnacle. Because they kind of flip it on its head in the water design levels, because it's like, oh, the fear of going to the bottom and not being able to get up to the top is scarier than, you know, floating to the top just because you're naturally buoyant. So I think that's another thing they were like, you know, how can we make this worse? How can we make this worse and more difficult and more frustrating?
Tangent question there too. Like, do you think it's worse? Do you find it harder, like, doing a large drop in a game or like being at the bottom of something and having to swim up. Because I know, like, if Scott's playing a game, it's so hard for him to do. He has a fear of heights, so like any large drop is terrifying for him. Where I'll be playing Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild, and I can literally just like let myself drop from the sky and then get the glider at the last second, no problem. But like for me, it's the opposite. If I'm at the bottom of the ocean and I have to get to the top, like I am stressing out, and I don't tend to stress out in games like that. So how does that perspective kind of fit for you guys?
I'm heights. I get vertigo heights. If I have to jump in a game. Like to me, the moment in Ocarina of Time, because we keep going back to it, that I dread is not the water temple. It's the Deku Tree, the first dungeon, where you have to jump from the top of the Deku Tree down through the spider web to get all the way to the bottom. Because I get like the whole, it feels like it's vertigo. Like the whole frame just stretches out infinitely. Whereas if I'm at the bottom of like a body of water and have to swim back to the top, like I get anxiety from that, but like it's the same anxiety of, oh, there's a timer going. Oh, I have to do this thing. Oh, my health is low. It's the same type of anxiety I get from any kind of panic situation in a game. So it doesn't feel extraordinary to me in the way that it does to you.
Yeah, I feel like the timer and that unseen timer, or whether maybe it is visible, of like how much air you have left is more of like a passive thing you have to worry about, versus like jumping off of something is you have to take the leap, you have to press jump, you have to jump over the ledge. So there's a little bit more of just like less of an impetus there than like, oh shit, you're gonna drown if you don't do anything. On the other thing, it's like you're not gonna move unless you do something, unless you jump off this thing. So there's kind of like a weird like active passive nature of both of those things, whether it's a tall cliff or, you know, a really deep ocean.
That's just so strange to me, because I don't know, like, I obviously everybody has their own perspectives and opinions, but like I would yeet Mario off of the most ridiculous things and take the 2 points of fall damage from doing it and have like no worries about that. If it would get me down somewhere faster than like panic, like slowly watching Mario die, like under the ocean.
I'll jump off something Mario 64 that's really high and it's not a problem. For me, it's specifically if there's a singular point I have to land. If it's like a straight drop, to me that's where the problem is. If it's like Mario long jump off a thing, and you're going down at like this 45-50 degree angle, I'm fine with that. It doesn't matter where I land, but the straight drop down is what gets me.
You know, to your point too, like that scene in the Deku Tree where you jump down and kind of break the spider web with the fire and all that, whatever. That is, they do such a good job with the camera. The way you described that, I was like, oh yeah, they do really make it seem like you're going a long way down. And I feel like that also adds to it, because the camera kind of follows you in such a way, like it goes wide and then, you know, the draw distance isn't that great, so you don't really see the bottom until you get closer, and then it pops in. Like, yeah, there's something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm. So, Bopper, one thing you said kind of earlier, I don't know if you were like nudging toward this or not, but like whenever I look up, whenever I talk about anything that is commonly known as bad, it almost feels like people feel like it's bad because they were told it's bad, versus it was designed that way to be bad. Specifically if we're talking about like Ocarina of Time's water level, which I honestly don't mind at all. But I think my question revolving around that is, do you think that gamers are just being dramatic about a lot of things in terms of water levels, or should we be like listening to what they're saying as like water levels equals bad design?
Well, I wouldn't personally listen to gamers about anything, but if we had to,
good point.
You know, I don't think the complaints come from nowhere. There's a lot of frustration in video games that I would call it water adjacent, right? So you like Castlevania 2, you kneel down in front of the water so that it drops, and then the water kills you if you drop into it without doing that, like during that puzzle. You know, and that's an infamously frustrating bit of a video game that you kind of have to look up a guide for. You have, obviously, the water temple is deeply frustrating to a lot of people.
Which is funny, because if you think about it, and this is where my question comes from, it's not really the water that is the issue in that. It's the cues as to, like, some of the puzzles. Like, I know one thing that they fixed from the 3DS version versus the original version is, like, when you raise the water at one point or drop it, you don't see that you opened up a small cave or platform behind. Yeah. And, like, that's why people don't like that level. But I don't personally think that the increasing and decreasing... Like, I think it's an interesting puzzle mechanic. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe a little overused at this point. But the reason why I ask that is... And I as a teacher, former teacher too, when you would hear people complain about things and you talk to them about it, it almost seems like when you get on something like Games Radar or... Game Rant or Screen Rant, they have these like top 10 lists of worst things, and sometimes I look at those lists and I'm like, who told you that's the worst thing? Did you play that, or did you Google that? Is it the fact that it's tedious and you have to think about it, or is it really make it shitty? And like, I know, Zach, you're not the biggest fan of the water level, but I think it's fine. Like, I don't really think it's that bad.
Oh, I mean, I went back and played it recently. Like, I did a Ocarina of Time run, I don't know, like a month ago or whatever, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think the mechanics unique to the game, which is cool, the raising and lowering. Mm-hmm. I honestly think the biggest gripe that I had with it is that the environments feel very samey. It feels like, you know, you're kind of in this, like, every room almost feels the same. Like, they didn't vary it up that much. I feel like that was kind of my primary critique of it going back. But however old I was, 8, 7, whatever, when I first played it versus now, 35, it's a lot different. I have an appreciation for it. I have an appreciation for trying to make something difficult and unique and infamous and notorious at the same time. Like, kudos to them for doing that, because that also just adds to the longevity of people talking about it. So it's obviously very intentional.
Yeah. And this is why I said it was like water adjacent, because mm-hmm. I don't think the frustration with the water temple is the water.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, well, for me playing the game for the first time, it was the menuing. It was the fact that the iron boots are not, you can't put them on the quick item select, and I think that adds to a lot of the frustration. I would be curious to hear from somebody that's only played the 3DS version what they think of the water temple, just because that version allows you to quick select the iron boots the same way you can in Wind Waker and mm-hmm. Twilight Princess. So I would imagine for those players, like when I play the 3DS version, I am not nearly as frustrated right. with it, which is the opposite actually of Majora's Mask, whose 3DS version makes the water sections in that game significantly worse, weirdly enough. I guess that's a game where I don't like the water bits if we're talking 3DS Majora's Mask. I think the other thing is that you're talking about, okay, the environments are all samey in the water temple. I think one of the struggles for water levels is that, you know, we always hear, oh, you know, 90% of the oceans are unexplored, or we don't know what's right. there. And it's like, yes, we do. It's water with nothing. Like, if you were to get dropped into a random spot in the ocean, there's probably nothing there.
Oh, that freaks me out. Ooh, yeah, open water.
Open water is mostly just empty. Like, not even sharks or whales or anything.
You can't see it. You can't see it.
And I think video games struggle with that. Is like, what do you put in the water? So like, to take it away from platformers, you know, I think of a lot of RPGs, like the amount of time I spent in like Final Fantasy 3 or Final Fantasy 5 just scouring the bottom of the ocean in the submarine, mm-hmm. just trying to find anything that you can do down there, because there's going to be like, you have to find something underwater to advance those games, and just trying to find like the 3 or 4 locations where there is anything was frustrating. Or Final Fantasy VII's submarine minigame, where if you don't, like, that's a really easy minigame, you know, if you know the controls, to just immediately blow up the Shinra sub the second it starts. But if you lose track of it, you're spending, you know, you're gonna game over because you're right. not going to find that tedious. Sub. You're not going to find the red sub down there in the ocean with PS1 draw distances.
You know, so you know who I thought did a really good job with kind of open water? And I don't know if you guys both played it or one of you did. Inside. Did you guys ever play Inside?
I did not play Inside.
No.
Amazing indie game by the creators who did Limbo. It's kind of like that black and white silhouette kind of left to right scroller puzzle game. But they have this section where, you know, it, the whole game is very atmospheric and very creepy and kind of empty. And then they have this kind of almost like Samara from The Ring. This girl, like, she kind of like comes from the water and she'll drag you down and she'll basically drown you.
Yikes.
Spoilers. Yeah. Terrifying.
Fear, but, fears and fears and fears. Yeah.
Right. And so they kind of set up the water as like this like terrible place because she that girl's always lurking. And then they give you a submarine. And the submarine is so fucking fun to like you like crash through things. And again, it's mostly empty. And there's this very like foreboding feeling of like, oh shit, something's going to go on. And, or Samara's going to come out of somewhere. Her name's not Samara. I'm just using that. But it, they did such a good job to make it feel dangerous while feeling empty. And I think to like your point, Bopper, around this, like, you know, that most water is just emptiness is true, but to like make that feel scary, I think, is interesting.
Right, you're kind of saying like intended design versus maybe not intentional design when we're talking about, you know, Final Fantasy trying to locate
right.
a place. It's just kind of like that's more point A to point B, where using the vastness as an element to the game. And I think that kind of goes in where I want to go next with our conversation, because we're kind of hitting this like, is water make for a clunky experience, or is it truly just some games are poorly designed and it really has nothing to do with the water?
Yeah, to me, it's so different. It depends on the game, I feel like. I feel like it's probably easy to just go anything, you know, level plus water isn't going to be as great. But I feel like there's levels designed around water and then levels that include water, you know, which is such a very nerdy
or games, like, just games, or games period.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's hard to blanket statement it and say it. I think some of my favorite music in video games comes from water levels, which is
absolutely.
Yeah, it's always just super iconic. But then some of the most frustrating things, like finding all those fucking eggs in Majora's Mask. Ugh, so terrible.
Or finding the 100 coins in Jolly Roger Bay, or Dire Docks, or Wet Dry World.
Hey, at least the terrible. Water, at least the water in Jolly Roger Bay is incredible. Like,
yes,
it's very soothing compared to the stressful nature of like what you're supposed to be doing at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer that the other two water levels in Mario 64 are way more frustrating. Wet Dry
that.
World and Dire Docks, but.
Mm-hmm.
Dire
anyway, that's kind of the
not good. I did not like that level. You're bringing up a lot of trauma for me.
I think games that revolve around water, kind of getting into that whole like design thing, tend to do better. Like, I know that I wouldn't play Subnautica just because of that fear, but I also know that a lot of people really enjoy that game because it's done so well. Versus like if you slap in a random water thing in a game that people tend to not like, or like I think Diver Dave would be the equivalent that I would play. Like, even though it has some of those elements, I think being in 2D nature, a lot of the exploration is still designed well. Like, I know you're a lot more mobile than you would be in like say Metal Gear Solid or like Castlevania, Metroidvania, or Super Metroid, you know, like you don't have that clunkiness. It all kind of just pairs really well. Or fucking Kingdom Hearts when they throw you underwater and you're struggling to hit anything because it's like two people's distance above you and you're not swinging correctly. I think the games that are completely revolving around water tend to be done with more integrity. And that's a wrap on part one of this week's episode. We'll be back next week with part two so you can hear the rest of our gaming-related shenanigans. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening, YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode of RP Gamer.